ऐसी मशीन लगाऊंगा, इस साइड से आलू घुसेगा, उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Hello everyone, welcome to Attention Please podcast now on video. If you like this video, please don't forget to like, subscribe and share. So today what we will be talking about is going to be the Indian Premier League season 2021. And for those of you, and I know there are many of you who follow this podcast who have nothing to do with IPL and in cricket in general, this would be a good time to go on to your next podcast. So we're going to be talking purely about IPL 2021. This is a significant year for IPL. First of all, it's been a very difficult year because, as most of you know, it started out in India. Then we had a surge in COVID cases in India. It was shifted to Dubai and Abu Dhabi and Sharjah, the UAE. And this led to a change in fortunes of some teams, particularly of the team that I support, Kolkata Knight Riders, and we'll come to that. And it's been overall been a very difficult IPL, perhaps the most difficult IPL so far because of this disruption, because several players, including, I know, for instance, Riddhiman Saha, they caught COVID while this was going on. So this was obviously very difficult. And it was very difficult for the franchises to strategize when you have these kinds of major changes, because the pitches in UAE are very different from the pitches in India. So that was there. Plus, in India also, people couldn't play on their home grounds. They had to play on other grounds. And there was a succession of games. So it was just, overall, it was just very difficult. And this season is also significant because this is the last time that these teams are going to play together. Next year, we are going to have the mega auctions where all the players will go back into the pool. There will obviously be some retentions. I don't know what the rules for retentions are going to be. But the last time this happened, there were, I think they could retain basically fly five players. So they could do it either through this right to match cards, or they could just basically prevent the players from going into the auction. So there was two options. I'm guessing there's going to be the same thing this year. So I'm going to presume there's going to be about like five retentions that are going to be allowed for franchises. So it's a tough IPL because, you know, players, they bond, they become a team, and then essentially they're all going to be dispersed again. So it's an emotional time for both fans as well as for teams. So this episode is being recorded before the first qualifier. So I do not know at this point of time who among Delhi Capitals and Chennai Super Kings are going to win the first game. So I thought this would be a good time to look at each of these franchises because the league phase is over. And for me, at least, IPL finishes with the league stage. And if you have a league competition, at least the way where I come from, there is no notion of a final and semi-final. It's the league. So however you're placed in the league is really what your position in the tournament is. Now in IPL, essentially the league is for who gets to qualify for the final four, which I've always felt is kind of unfair. I mean, why play so many games when ultimately, I mean, there is now this notion of a playoff. So the one and two have one less game they have to play in order to qualify. But even then, one would presume that somebody who's played so many games should automatically and comes first should automatically, at least in my opinion, should be given the trophy. Anyways, so let's start with the teams in the order in which they finished in the league stages. So let's first start with Delhi Capitals. So Delhi Capitals has been one of the most improved franchises over the last few years. Delhi Capitals used to be the butt end of most of my jokes, at least. And one of the big reasons why they used to be the butt end of my jokes was every year they would go to the auction table and they would basically buy everybody. And then every year they would let everybody go. And so at some point of time, all the great players who have been immensely successful in the IPL have graced the Delhi Capitals team, and then Delhi Capitals has let them go so that other franchises can then profit off them. So whether it be AB de Villiers, whether it be Gautam Gambhir, whether it be Andre Russell, whether it be Glenn Maxwell, all of them were bought by Delhi Capitals at some point of time, and Delhi Capitals then let them go. So it's been kind of been a very badly managed franchise over the years. But over the last few years, I think it's kind of gotten it act together. First of all, they they abandoned their old name, Delhi Daredevils, and took Delhi Capitals. I don't know what difference that made, but I guess it did make some difference because they've definitely been a better team. Over the years, they have gone from being third in the to second to now first in the league stage. And this, I guess, is a great Kejriwal achievement. Now, you can say that Arvind Kejriwal had nothing to do with this, but that doesn't prevent him from taking credit for many other things. So he might as just as well put on a full-page advertisement in a newspaper. I'm kidding, of course. So the reason, and one of the positives, is they've invested a lot in creating a very stable core. That's really what they didn't have before. So as we have seen over the years, IPL teams generally tend to do well. No matter what the constitution of the players are or how you compose the team, but as long as there's some level of stability, and stability as in the team is fairly constant throughout a tournament and between tournaments, in that respect, players seem to tend to know what their roles are and they have some kind of job security and they perform better. So this is, again, something which Delhi Capitals has consistently, I would say, consistently lacked. So they have not allowed this kind of stability. And over the last few years, they have. I think they have gotten with the program. So I think one of the good things that they have done, and this will be fairly obvious to anybody who's following the game, is they have maintained and aggressively pursued a very strong Indian batting and bowling base, a core of the team, which, you know, there is Dhawan, there is Shaw, there is Iyer, there is Pant. And they have backup with Rahane. They have good bowling with Ashwin and Aksar, which is essentially a frontline spinning 1-2. And then they have also buttressed their team with very strong pace bowling. So Norie, it's a great buy. They picked him up from KKR again. Another franchise which does not know how to retain their talent. And they also bought Rabada. And they have also, and this is something which Delhi was particularly not good at, which is an uncovering hidden talent. So they always used to buy big talent and then they would let them go. But they found talent in Avesh Khan. So overall, I think Delhi has performed excellently as a franchise. They also have Dickie Ponting, which means they have, the first time I think they have very assertive leadership. So they have kind of grown as a brand and it shows in their performance in IPL. And one thing that sometimes is forgotten is that they did a great trade in which they got Dhawan. They got Dhawan in exchange for those of you who remember, Vijay Shankar. Yeah, there used to be a guy called Vijay Shankar who was called a three-dimensional talent. Shahbaz Nadeem and Abhishek Sharma. They got Dhawan from SRH. And this trade, once you look at it, I mean, this is a trade like, you know, paying crores for a painting by Mamata Banerjee. This is this kind of a trade. So I think Delhi was on the good side of the trade. And this really helped their team. So Shikhar Dhawan has been, for me, the biggest asset in the team. I know that a lot of attention is given on Rishabh Pant because, you know, he's a flamboyant personality. But I think if you look over at the performance of the team, it is really rested on the performance of Shikhar Dhawan. Shikhar Dhawan has been the stabling anchor at the top of the team. And I think, and we'll come to that, is that Sunrisers Hyderabad's loss of fortune, I think, is linked to a large extent by their decision to really not pay. That's what I heard when this transfer happened, was that the reason why Dhawan transferred to Delhi Capitals was that SRH was not willing to pay him what he wanted. And I think they should have. In retrospect, they should have just given what Dhawan wanted, because I think it destroyed SRH, essentially. It destroyed the balance. And it also made Delhi Capitals that much stronger. So in terms of negatives, there wasn't a lot of negatives with Delhi Capitals. I think overall it was a nice team. It gelled well. Again, there were periods in which, for instance, Suresh Iyer was injured, but the team didn't lose a lot. It wasn't a team which was overtly dependent on one person. And even though the attention was, and then there was Prithvi Shaw. If there was one negative, I would say it was Prithvi Shaw, because there was a lot of faith reposed in Prithvi Shaw. And Prithvi Shaw, and I love Prithvi Shaw. I really want him to, and I guess I'm a minority here, but between Prithvi Shaw and Shubman Gill, I prefer Prithvi Shaw. I know this is a controversial opinion, but I really love to see Prithvi Shaw bat, because he has that pickup of the bat which reminds me of Sehwag. That's the reason why. And he plays without any kind of, there's a Bengali word called pichutan, which means something which holds you back. He doesn't, he has nothing which holds him back. And I really love that about anybody who plays. I mean, I used to love that about Sehwag. He also had nothing which held him back. He just gave it all with every delivery. It was obviously a very high stakes, high risk gambit, but he did it. And I think Prithvi Shaw does it too. Now, Prithvi Shaw obviously has some fairly well-known deficiencies in technique, which have now been found out, which is what limits his usefulness. But I still love to see him play. And if there was any kind of negative, I would say, is essentially that I think more was expected from Prithvi Shaw. He won quite a few games for Delhi Capitals, by the way, because he's that kind of guy who, you know, on his day, he's devastating. But I don't think the Delhi Capitals' expectations and even Indian cricket fans' expectations was that he would be like Yusuf Pathan. But he's increasingly becoming like Yusuf Pathan. That he usually will you one game, maybe a season, but that's about as much as you can trust him to win. And I just feel that as a talent, he was way ahead of Yusuf Pathan. And I don't want his career to become like Yusuf Pathan's. That, you know, he's obviously will be a sought-for asset in IPL. But I'm a little bit more concerned about his overall future, because at one point of time, I thought he would be essentially be the next generation Sehwag as a test opener. So in terms of retention strategy moving forward into the next season's mega auction, I would think that they would definitely are going to retain Dhawan. They're going to have retained Iyer, and they're going to retain Rishabh Pant. Even though Rishabh Pant's captaincy may be, but I still think that they're still going to go with Rishabh Pant as a captain. And you know, if there are five cards, I would put them on, five retention cards, I would put them on Dhawan, Iyer, Pant, Aksar, and Rabada. Norrie was a great buy from Calcutta. But, you know, between Rabada and Norrie, I would choose one. You don't have more than five cards as per the last mega auction. So, again, I would have to say that you'd have to have Dhawan, Iyer, Pant, and Aksar. These four guys automatically select themselves. Ashwin, no. They have to look beyond Ashwin at this point of time. I think Ashwin's is decreasing returns at this point of time. And between Rabada and Norrie, it's a toss-up. I think both are extremely valuable and bring a lot of value. So next team, Chennai Super Kings. Now, this team has belied skepticism. Last time when they created, even in the last mega auction, I felt this was like creating the Margdarshak Mandali or whatever it was. It was, if those of you remember, was basically Narendra Modi taking all older elements of the party and creating this committee of no importance. So it was like that. It was a collection of assemblage of extremely old men. And this was exactly what Chennai Super Kings was. And initially, when they constituted that team, I personally felt, and I'll be the first person to say that I was wrong, was I felt that this had really no future moving forward. And yet they did. They have consistently in India and in UAE, they've consistently performed. And if you ask me, I don't know how, because every time I look at them, I see how are they going to do it, but they managed to do it. And especially if you look at the form of Dhoni, who is basically metamorphosed into the ideal executive manager in the sense that he does not perform. He waits for the individual contributors to perform, but yet still, the company sees him as a valuable entity because ultimately he is the person who delivers value. So he's kind of morphed from what used to be a kind of like an executive manager to an absolute executive manager at this point of time. And the only difference between him the great West Indian executive manager, who's now Nishane Pakistan, is that Darren Sammy was smart enough not to come to bat or not to come to bowl. So he would stay behind in the dugout and just basically dance. Dhoni still doesn't believe that he should do that. So Dhoni sometimes does come out to bat, which I really think he shouldn't. I think one of Chennai Super Kings' negatives is that Dhoni comes out to bat before Jadeja, which he shouldn't at this point of time. He's wasting deliveries at this point of time. It's much better to give those deliveries to Ravindra Jadeja. So I think that that's one thing that perhaps Dhoni needs to swallow his pride, at least for the rest of the games, and realize that, you know, he's not performing. Obviously, he's still a value, provides a lot of value as captain. If there's one person, I think one of my favorite moments in this IPL was during one of the DRS calls. I think it was the last game in which There was some dismissal. Dhoni appeals immediately, like gives a huge appeal. The umpire actually gives the batsman out. And Dhoni then tells, and you can pick up his like words, he's saying not out. He's like smiling at that point of time. He's saying not out. So I was wondering, why did he even appeal for this? Because you know, he got what he wanted. The umpire referred it to the third umpire and the third umpire overturned it. I think he was just kind of ragging the umpire at this point of time because there was no other reason, because he immediately knew he appealed knowing fully well that he was, that the batsman was not out. And even if he got the on-field umpire to say out, it was going to be overturned. So I guess his only gambit was that the batsman wouldn't refer to it. Other than that, but it just goes to show the strength of Dhoni. I mean, he's remarkable when it comes to getting the DRS calls right, which also that makes me wonder why he was the guy who resisted DRS for so long, given that this is a system which he understands and can game perfectly. So anyways, so in terms of Chennai Super Kings positives, again, I think Ruturaj Gaikwad and Faf du Plessis. Now, Faf du Plessis has been a part of Chennai Super Kings for many years. But given the fact that usually Shane Watson was the person who was designated to open, and Faf du Plessis is one of those guys who is kind of this Deepak Tijori vibe about him. In the sense, he's not a superstar. He's never been, even in the South African team, he's always been dwarfed by an AB de Villiers or even a Hashim Amla, or even a Deacock. So you never really notice Faf du Plessis, even though he's been playing for many years now. And so Faf du Plessis, over the last few years, once that, you know, Shane Watson has had his star on the descendant, and he's old too, and now he no longer is retired. Now, Faf du Plessis has kind of stepped forward, and you get to see how good he is as a batsman. And given a tenure at the top of the order, I mean, he's not a guy who will... He's not a Gale. He's never was a Chris Gale or an ABDV kind of a batsman. So he needs a little bit of time to get going. And he's provided the stability at the top, which really Chennai Super Kings have needed, because they have, you know, they have dodgy talent, I would say, in the middle. So Faf du Plessis and then the emergence of Ruturaj Gaikwad. I mean, Ruturaj Gaikwad is kind of... And this is, again, one of the great things about a successful franchise. The successful franchise consistently uncovers new talent. If you look at Chennai Super Kings and if you look at Mumbai Indians, they've consistently uncovered new talent. When I say uncovered new talent, I mean they get talent that nobody knows, and then they develop the talent to become somebody who then goes to play off for India. So Ruturaj Gaikwad, for instance, I mean, he's now at a stage where he has consistently performed across seasons, and he looks a very solid batsman. Again, excellent T20 batsman, and he is essentially the future of Chennai Super Kings at this point. So that's a positive. Ruturaj Gaikwad, again, Faf du Plessis is I don't think he's going to be coming back next year. Shardul Thakur, Deepak Chahar, again, they were unknown names when Chennai Super Kings picked them up at the last mega auction. But they have, at least Shardul has definitely emerged as a frontline Indian bowler, and we've seen he's performed extremely well both with the ball as well as with the bat in Test cricket. So that's one thing. And Chennai Super Kings, the core of their performance throughout, and this has been one of the most successful franchises in IPL, has been their bowling, has been the fact that they, and this has been essentially a strategy of Dhoni, that they have a 7 or 8 bowlers that they can call on at any point of time. There were a lot of all-rounders, a lot of bowlers. In many games, you'd find Jadeja will get just one over. Jadeja is, you know, one of the best all-rounders in the world today, and he would possibly get one over. So that's the thing about Dhoni. He loves to have that kind of flexibility in terms of bowling options. And you can see that's one of the secrets of success of Chennai Super Kings. And once we get to one of the, you know, some of the franchises that have not performed well, you know, the Rajasthan Royals and Punjab Kings, you'll see that these are the kinds of options that they don't have. They usually play with 5 bowlers or maximum 6 bowlers. They don't have a 7th or an 8th bowler who can kind of come in and shake things up. Maybe bowl one over. They usually don't have that level of flexibility. So that's been one of the secrets of Chennai Super Kings' success. And again, I love to talk about these things because that's the unique thing about franchise cricket, is that unlike, you know, national cricket, where you kind of have to make do with whatever talent is born within your boundaries, Here, this is true capitalism, where, again, it's not unbridled capitalism because ultimately the purse of every franchise is at least nominally capped. I know there are ways in which they kind of break the rules and kind of pay them extra by doing advertisement stuff, but at least nominally there's a cap. So it's essentially given a fixed set of resources. How do these different franchises allocate these resources? And as somebody who loves strategy, both corporate strategy, it's a great learning to see how cricketers do it. And it's, again, I know this is professional football, NFL, baseball, that's the whole thing. But again, these are games which I don't follow. I only follow cricket. So I'm fascinated by this. So for those of you who wonder why I care for IPL, this is the reason why perhaps I care for IPL, not for anything else, but more this kind of how do you allocate resources? How do, you know, we start at the same point. I mean, ultimately, all the franchises started at the same point in the 2008 auctions, but how they basically all diverged over the years based on some franchises consistently taking the correct, you know, options in the correct directions and some strategy and some franchises consistently taking wrong choices. So again, I'm kind of diverging here, but let's go back to Chennai Super Kings. So another, the positives have been, you know, this season has been Jadeja, has been Bravo. Bravo has done particularly well. I personally thought his career was over, but he seems to have it a resurgence. Last season, it was Sam Curran. This season, it was Bravo. The problem is, of course, Dhoni. And, you know, for tomorrow's game, I think Dhoni needs to take a step back. Now, it could be that Dhoni proves me wrong and plays one of his great innings, but still, I'm not going to put my money on it, and I'm definitely not going to put my fantasy team on it. The other big weakness of Chennai Super Kings, which I believe has not been analyzed particularly well, is Robin Uthappa's mohawk with that exotic red bird plume. I don't know what's going on there. I would think that's midlife crisis. I think that needs to be talked, and I've talked about as much as that's needed. So who should Chennai Super Kings retain? Definitely, they're going to retain Ruturaj Gaikwad. And they definitely should retain Ravindra Jadeja. They will retain Ravindra Jadeja because I think Ravindra Jadeja is the future captain. The Chennai Super Kings, once Dhoni leaves, Dhoni should be made the mentor of the team. He should still have some kind of, because it's not just a question of the leadership that he provides, but also, you know, he's associated with the brand. Ultimately, these teams are brands. And so you can't have Dhoni going to another, you know, just basically you have to pay him a retainership so that he doesn't get bought by, let's say, the Gujarat franchise. So Dhoni will be, and he said so, that, you know, this might be my last season as a player. I still think Dhoni wants to play even after this, but I think even he realizes that their franchise might not want him as a player, but he will definitely be some kind of mentor. So he's going to come back as a mentor, but ultimately I think the future captain, the future face of the brand will have to be Ravindra Jadeja. And Ravindra Jadeja is one of the most improved players in India over the last few years. He used to be kind of a joke for many years when he started off, but he's no longer a joke. I mean, he's the real deal. So if I had to count on the five cards they had, I would say four of them, I think, automatically tied themselves. One is Ruturaj Gaikwad, one is Ravindra Jadeja, one is Shardul Thakur, and one, I would say, is Deepak Chahar. The rest, I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether they would try for Faf again this next year. But I think that that's really going to be the core of their side moving forward. One batsman, one all-rounder, and two bowlers, all of them Indian. I think this is a fairly good core for them to move on to the next phase of the evolution of the franchise. Which brings me to team number three, Royal Challengers Bangalore. So it's again been a franchise which has, I think, never been a franchise that's been able to get things together. It's never won a cup. I would say it's like the Jimmy Shergill of franchises. Because, you know, he looks like he's going to get the girl at the end, but somehow he never does. So one reason, of course, has consistently been that, and this is, again, something which I would say, if you look at any RCB 11 from the last 12 years of IPL, you'll find it. They have a very, very weak bowling lineup. Very weak bowling lineup, especially compared to their batting lineup. So essentially what it always has been is that no matter how many runs their batting side, the batting part of their side scores, the bowling side is just unable to defend it. That's really been their consistent problem. And I mean, just look at it. They selected Dinda, Ashok Dinda. So what does it tell you? it tells you that they don't really care for their bowling, right? It's like, you know, selecting Ashok Dinda as a bowler is like, I don't know, selecting Rahul Gandhi in a political party where you're not Congress and you still want it. It's like that. But if they have had great players, they have had great batting sides, and ultimately it comes down to, I think it, you know, Royal Challengers Bangalore's lack of success ultimately comes down to, and I know I'm going to might be getting a lot of hate for this, but ultimately comes down to Virat Kohli. Ultimately comes down to the lack of leadership that Virat Kohli exhibits. Again, this is not an indictment of him as a batsman, but an indictment of him as a leader. As a leader, as somebody who, the difference between him and Dhoni, and I've stressed this many times, is that Dhoni is a leader who gets it right, even when he's not performing. Kohli performs, and again, I would say his performance in IPL has been underwhelming, give or take a few seasons. But I think that as a leader, he's kind of let things drift. And it, no matter how much bigger fan of Kohli you are, the fact that he's never been able to win an IPL trophy should tell you a lot about his leadership. Ultimately, you're measured by your success, and he hasn't had any, and now he's given up the captaincy, and I don't think that he's going to become a captain ever again. I think he's himself has realized that, you know, he's not, he was going to have successes, but he's not really the kind of, you know, generational captain, the kind of person who people remember and still talk about, like they talk about Sourav Ganguly, like they will talk about Dhoni. He's not going to be one of them. He's not a Sourav Ganguly. He's not a Dhoni. He's a captain. He's a leader. He will win few matches, but he's not going to be somebody who's going to become an institution as a leader. That's going to be part of his legacy. He's realized that. And I'm glad that he's realized that. What would have been worse if he was to try to extend in his life because of, you know, his ego, which obviously he has. So positives. This season, well, I think one of the things that RCB has managed to do, which I think very few franchises have done, is they've been able to get Glenn Maxwell to perform consistently. I don't know what system of incentives they have created, but whatever it is, I salute them for that, because this is, again, you know, bar one season for the, at that point of time, differently named Punjab Kings. I mean, Maxwell has been one of the biggest disappointments of IPL. And I think that one of the reasons for that has essentially been Maxwell himself. Maxwell is a very, very talented batsman, again, in the T20 context, but he just hasn't seemed to take IPL seriously. It's a kind of, he always gives me this impression, like many other Australian players, except David Warner, that they basically come to IPL to cash their check, that they're not really focused. They tend to think of this as something which is, you know, taking money from the natives, I guess. I don't know. There seems to be this something, that smile, that laugh. And he's not the only guy. They just don't seem to be there. They just seem to be coming in, taking the money and say, kya kya chutiya bana, kind of thing. Except David Warner. He's been the only guy who have felt who's really, really, really been passionate about his team. And I'm going to come to that, which is why I feel terrible the way SRH treated him. Because he was the only guy I felt, Australian, one of the very few foreign guys who really cared for the team and for the franchise. He's a very emotional guy. He's a little different from most Australians. I mean, he's aggressive, but there's a kind of, you know, very desi emotion about him. And I felt that, you know, given what he has done for the franchise, there's very few people. I mean, look at his numbers. I mean, I'll come to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was so disappointed by, you know, the way the SRH treated David Warner. It was just terrible. So coming back to RCB, you know, they've been able to get something out of Maxwell consistently. They've uncovered Devdutt Padikkal, who's, among the two Devdutt P's that we know, definitely my favorite among the two Devdutts that we have in Indian consciousness, who are Devdutt P. Dot. I'm talking about Devdutt Patnaik, obviously, but so I really like Devdutt Padikkal. I love watching him bat. I think he's very smooth the way he bats. He has that, you know, the class about him, which again, I can't really say about many other batsmen. He has that thing about him. I think he's a long-term prospect. I think Washington Sundar, Mohammad Siraj, strangely, Harshal Patel, I never thought is going to be anybody, but he had a great season. He seems to be a very different bowler. So they have a very good Indian core. So they've, for the first time, again, but with Bangalore, you never really know. I mean, at one point of time, if you remember, they had KL Rahul, and I thought they were grooming him till they just let him go. So again, with RCB, I don't understand what's going on. But again, the negative is going to be that they've always have bad bowling in it. Any point of time when I'm KKR and I'm playing against RCB, my main thing is, all right, it's RCB's bowling. So no matter what they scored, that's going to be there. The only other thing is, you know, is this season the end of the road for AB de Villiers? Now, AB de Villiers had a fairly good time in the early part of the season, but he's really been out of it in the UAE league of, in the UAE part of IPL 2021. And ABDV is one of those rare talents. I mean, him and Gale, Chris Gale, are one of these ageless talents who they kind of belie expectations of performance. You think that some point of time, obviously, their performance is going to drop. With Gale, it's starting now. It started for a few years, but still, he has the ability to, you know, change a match even now at this age. And I would say that's the same thing for ABDV. So, but the question is it the end of the road for ABDV? I still don't think this is his last season. I think he will be back, but I'm not sure that he would be worth Royal Challengers Bangalore retaining him. Maybe on a right to match card, but definitely or not on a retention. Though you would think that ABDV is a person who, if any franchise have him, they would retain him. So what are their retention strategies? I would say, obviously, Kohli will be retained because, you know, Kohli is their brand. I don't know. I don't know if everything is right between him and the franchise. So I'm not too sure. But he did say that he will always play for Bangalore. He'll always play on the red jersey. Though if the Gujarat franchise, which is coming up next, has a red jersey, I don't know. Who knows? I think Maxwell will be retained. Hopefully they do that. Because I think Maxwell has done enough to deserve to be retained for them. Padikkal will definitely be retained. And maybe Harshal. Maybe Harshal. I'm not sure about that. But I don't think ABDV should be retained. Yeah, right to match, maybe. But at this point of time, I don't think his performance, I don't think, is likely to improve. Which brings me to my own franchise, Kolkata Knight Riders. So this is a this is, again, Kolkata Knight Riders, I love to hate on them. I've been disappointed with them, their performance, their some of their decisions. And, you know, despite, you know, their pretensions of, you know, money balling, it's overall, it's been, I would say, it's been a poorly managed franchise. I mean, think of it. They gave away Surya Kumar Yadav. They gave away Sanju Samson. I mean, who does that? I mean, they had a terrible 2021 season till, of course, the shift in the venue came. And then they were helped by the emergence of Venkatesh Iyer, which, again, this is one of the things about IPL, is that one person, and that's for SRH, for instance, has been David Warner. One person can essentially carry a franchise. In when the horizon is 20 overs, you don't really need a, you know, you just basically need other players to kind of stand up and do their jobs. But you don't really need everybody performing at 100%, like you need in a test match. In a one-day game, in a T20 game, you know, one guy who consistently, you know, gives good starts. Yeah, that's essentially what the team needs. And Venkatesh Iyer has provided that. Now, whether Venkatesh Iyer is going to be able to retain that, or is he going to be the next Paul Valthati, I don't know. Again, that's the problem with these kinds of sudden arrivals of great talent. And again, many people are not able to carry forward their stellar performance into next season. We've seen many Indian talent having this problem, even talent from outside. So this is a franchise which selected and retained Rinku Singh. So I'm talking about, you know, a level of intellect that I, humble me, cannot comprehend, cricketing intellect that I cannot comprehend. And they also have had, you know, the worst performer in all of IPL, Owen Morgan. I mean, this guy is obviously been very valuable for England, but as both the batsman as a captain, he's led a lot to be desired. And unlike Dhoni, who at least keeps winning. I can't even say that about Orin Morgan. They've also not done particularly well with respect to some of the strategic bets they placed. Again, hindsight is always 2020, but I think they went all in for Mavi and Nagarkoti in the last mega auction. They believed that Mavi and Nagarkoti are going to be like superstars. I mean, Mavi has won men up maybe one game or two games over the seasons, but Nagarkoti doesn't even figure in their playing 11. So what does that tell you? And I'm pretty sure that though they are not going to be retained by KKR. So it's been a franchise where talent has gone to essentially die. That's for me is the biggest. It's not so much how much, at least for me as a cricket fan, as an Indian cricket fan, it's not so much how many games a franchise wins in IPL. It's more how much talent it uncovers, how much talent it develops. So that's where I would say Mumbai Indians is a great, very successful franchise. CSK has been a very successful franchise. And this is developed talent that has gone on to play for India. With Kolkata Knight Riders, it's really been the end of road for many, what it seemed at that point of time. And I'm not even getting into the story of Kuldeep Yadav because I'd be talking for hours at that point of time. So again, Nagarkoti, Mavi, Kuldeep Yadav, none of them really, and Morgan. Now, they've had more misses than they have. And that's because I think that this is, again, a franchise. And I've made fun of them incessantly on Twitter. This is a franchise which, despite its pretensions of being off, so Moneyball, essentially doesn't get it. So positives, Shubman Gill, I think he still has quite a way to go before he realizes what I believe his potential is and what other people say that his potential is. Positives also been the emergence of Venkatesh Iyer. Now, whether he can carry forward that success, again, as I said, is Varun Chakravarti. Again, he has been able to carry his success through at least two seasons. So that's really a win. Which brings me to the negatives. One is Andre Russell. I mean, Andre Russell had his time in the 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. But overall, he's just been too inconsistent. He's just that, his muscle building, I believe, is just too cosmetic. I mean, it's not really, it just makes him injury prone. I mean, he's like this build. I mean, that amount of momentum that he carries when he runs. I mean, that momentum, he runs into anything, he immediately, pulls his hamstring, rips his hamstring, injures his shoulder. And again, he's just too expensive. And at this point of time, too inconsistent. The return on investment for him as a franchise, I just don't think is worth it. Yeah, he will win games. But again, at his price, the price he commands, you don't expect a Yusuf Pathan kind of, I will win you one game. Kind of talent. You expect consistency. Teams cannot be anchored by people like Andre Russell. So I think overall, the last few years, Andre Russell has been a huge disappointment. Then there, of course, Narayan. Now, Narayan has represented the KKR franchise very honorably. He's basically been the face of the franchise. He's been one of the most consistent in the two trophies that they won. Narayan definitely had a lot of contribution to it. But let's face it, Narayan hasn't been the same ever since he had his problems with chucking. So ever since he was called for chucking, the modifications of his actions, he's not the same bowler. It's a different bowler. And for a few years, he kind of rediscovered his value as a batsman, which kind of covered up for the fact that he was not performing as a bowler. So as an all-rounder, he was, again, valuable. But then again, Kolkata Knight Riders decided to take a bizarrely different. I mean, again, I wouldn't say bizarrely because Chris Lynn also wasn't performing to the extent that was expected of him. But when Chris Lynn was at his best, that was when the partnership between Chris Lynn and Narayan made good sense, because Chris Lynn was a person who was bad against spin and very good against pace, and Narayan was exactly the opposite. So no matter what strategy the opposing team would do while opening the bowling, they could always take a single and face the kind of bowler that they wanted to face. And Narayan, since he was an all-rounder, since still he was bowling, he had kind of the license to do whatever he wanted. So at that point of time, I still think that he had a role in this team. But given that Kolkata Knight Riders have decided to move in a different direction, this Narayan is no longer going to open, I think that as a number seven or number eight batsman, as a bowler, he's not worth his place in the team anymore. That's another problem. And this brings me again. And again, there's so many negatives to Kolkata Knight Riders. Then there's Pat Cummins, who was bought for 14, 16 crores. I don't even remember. What a big disappointment he has been. Now, he performed kind of okay on the Indian leg of this tour, but come on, for the amount of money that is being paid for him, it's not what you expect, right? And again, he's again one of those players who I believe does not bowl at full tilt for IPL. I mean, he definitely bowls within himself. It's just, again, one of those people who are just here to encash their check and move on. So I like Cummins, of course, as a seam bowler, as when he represents Australia. He's a very passionate, very highly talented person. But again, with IPL, I just believe that he basically counts the clock and goes home. And again, there was no sense in selecting Cummins, because at that point of time, Kolkata already had Loki Ferguson. They had an express foreign pace bowler. And Loki Ferguson is a much better option than Cummins. And he's shown it in terms of his performance. You should just look at his performance vis-a-vis Cummins, whatever he's been given the opportunity. And remember, at that point of time, Kolkata Knight Riders also selected Norrie, who never played. He had an injury and they let him go. And Norrie is just like, if they just had Loki and Norrie, both of them, why would they then need Cummins at all? They had two super, super talented T20 pace bowlers who could really, really crank it up. So again, this is again symptomatic of the kind of poor decision making that has plagued KKR. And the reason why it is at least number four was that they just basically had a very good UAE season, and that's predicated purely by the success of Venkatesh Iyer. It's just one person who made the difference, who gave them that kind of solid start which they were lacking. The reason why they didn't have a solid start was that they don't have batsmen. They never selected. They splurged all their money on Pat Cummins. So they needed to have either an Indian or a foreign batsman who is a power hitter. And it looks like Venkatesh Iyer is one, which is why, in terms of retention, I would say that Gill is obviously going to be retained. He is the person that is going to be the next captain. Varun Chakravarti should obviously be retained. So Gill and Varun Chakravarti are shoo-ins in terms of retention. And I think the third person that they should retain maybe is Venkatesh Iyer. There is a risk. So they could try right to match. But I think that Venkatesh Iyer is going to go for a lot of money because he's also an all-rounder. So given his performance, I think Venkatesh Iyer is going to break, it's going to cash out next IPL in the mega auction. So Kolkata Knight Riders might want to not do an RTM on him and just might want to retain him. But again, there is the risk that he might come out and become the next Paul Valthati. I hope he doesn't, but yeah. And this team is, of course, Mumbai Indians, the Yankees of IPL. This Mumbai Indians has had over the past few years, I mean, their performance has been stellar, two times champion, and they have assembled at the last auction, essentially, I would say, on paper, the greatest IPL squad ever assembled. And the fact that so many members of the Indian T20 World Cup are coming from that team tells you something. And again, this is a franchise which has taken unknowns and has made them. So Hardik Pandya was an unknown. Bumrah was an unknown. So these people haven't just brought Banaya talent from somewhere else. They have made this talent. So this is again, and I haven't been paid by Ambani, by the way. So neither do I have a Jio. So this franchise, again, has, of course, the strength of the whole Jio network. It has the presence of God as well as the Son of God. So, they have their, bases covered. They began the season very well. They were playing in conditions that they had made their team for. And now this laid... They had a dip in their fortune, got pipped by KKR. But I still think it's a good team. It's still a very good team on paper. They did very well in terms of their auction strategies. They, picked up Surya Kumar Yadav. And it was not just a question of picking up Surya Kumar Yadav. Surya Kumar Yadav was batting at number five, at number six in KKR at one point of time. And he never had a stable batting position. He was always treated as the guy they just put in when Yusuf Pathan got out. So he was not treated well by the KKR franchise. And he went there and he was given the opening slot. He was given a mandate. He was given an opening slot and he delivered. So that's what a good franchise does versus what a, you know, underperforming franchise does. So they picked up Surya Kumar Yadav. They created the Pandya brothers. They picked up Ishan Kishan. I mean, Ishan Kishan had a good season with Gujarat. So it's not that he was an unknown, but still, they paid for Ishan Kishan and then they paid for Deacock. So, you know, they have they already retained Pollard from previous auctions. So it still looks a great team. So they have a very, very good team, I would say, with power hitters. I mean, teams have downsides and they have downtimes. And Mumbai Indians have essentially the law of averages have kind of caught up with them. And again, I think they were not fully prepared for the UAE League. And I think one of the main problems that they have had, but they had it last season and they still won, was that when Hardik Pandya doesn't bowl, they lose something in terms of the balance of their side. So Hardik Pandya bowling is very important. So I think that's one of the big things. I think that the performance of Mumbai Indians would have been different if Hardik Pandya was bowling. With respect to this, the second leg of IPL 2021, I think one of the things that really hurt them was the loss of form of Trent Bolt. Because Trent Bolt was used to take up wickets in the power play before, like inevitably. He, I think, hasn't in this IPL, I might be wrong. Anyways, he has not had a very big impact. I know I selected him in my fantasy team, so I know exactly how he did. They've also kind of have a huge lacune in the middle in the form of Krunal Pandya, who's kind of a more, you know, more aggressive form of Kedar Yadav. In that, it's not, when I say aggressive, I don't know mean in terms of batting or bowling, but in terms of his gesticulation and in terms of his like actual anger. But in terms of performance, he's kind of now become like Kedar Yadav. So I think that the loss of Krunal used to be a, you know, fairly good utility player. I never felt he deserved his place in the Indian side, kind of. But maybe one or season he did also. But again, he was a lesser talent. He was obviously nowhere close to his, you know, his younger brother, Hardik Pandya. But I think that's been one of their problems. And I think, but the biggest problem is obviously has been Rohit Sharma. I mean, Rohit Sharma is also on a trend down at this point of time. And people forget that Rohit Sharma is a survivor from 2007 World Cup. He's been here for a while. Right. And, you know, he still is obviously a solid performer in one day games. But I think in T20 franchise cricket, he's no longer the force that he used to be. So that's been it again. It's been covered up. Rohit Sharma's loss of performance has been covered up by the fact that they've had a stellar lineup. And so, but, you know, a little bit here and there and it begins to suffer. So what should they retain? I think they still have a great side. I think that, you know, come on, they won two tournaments. They come back to almost back to back. So they're really very good. So they don't have to press the panic button. So they should definitely retain Surya Kumar Yadav. They should retain Ishan Kishan. They should retain Bumrah. They will most probably retain Hardik. Rohit, I mean, he's part of the brand. So they're going to retain him. But on a purely cricketing perspective, maybe not. Maybe he's not worth retaining at this point of time for Mumbai. And maybe they're better off trying to, make Pollard the captain and essentially create a... It's a little difficult having a foreign captain, I believe. But maybe that's their best way forward. But again, I don't know. I'm guessing they're going to retain Rohit because of non-cricketing reasons, because of brand reasons. But I mean, from a cricketing perspective, I don't think that he's is worth the investment because he's not cheap, right? Which brings me now to the lower half of the totem pole. Starts off with Punjab Kings. This is basically Punjab Kings is two people, right? KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal. I mean, KL Rahul has been just unreal. Last few seasons. I mean, his performance is just unreal in terms of his consistency. Again, people will complain, he scores at, you know, his strike rate is 120 or something. Who the F cares? You scored that much amount of runs consistently day in and day out. And you're batting and you're playing in a franchise where you have Deepak Hooda coming in after that. I mean, what is a guy going to do? And how much can he even hit? I mean, just expecting anything from KL Rahul. I mean, anybody who criticizes KL Rahul, you know. So, I think Punjab Kings relied a lot on Nick Puran. I think they went all in on Nick Puran. And Nick Puran is a very good performer in franchise cricket, I would say. But IPL is a little different from franchise cricket. And if you want to ask this question, ask Livingstone, who was like a phenomenon in the English version of IPL, the 100, which is an absolute failure here in IPL. Because IPL is a little bit different. The standards are, just that much higher than general franchise cricket. This is not PSL. So people who are superstars in PSL are going to find it tough in IPL. So I think that Nick Puran is kind of on that level where he can't make that step above. So he will still be an absolute beast in CPL and PSL. But in IPL, I just don't think that he's there. He's been given a lot of opportunity. And he's had one or two good innings, but come on, that's not really what the expectations of the franchise are. And the thing with Punjab Kings is over the years, they've really struggled in terms of assembling, a well-balanced squad. And the interesting thing is, Anil Kumble's managerial abilities, I mean, they came under consistent scrutiny and I'm almost afraid to say this. Maybe Kohli was right. Oh, God. Maybe Kohli was right about being skeptical because, there was something wrong in the way their team selection was happening consistently. I mean, of course, they gave some chance to Arshdeep, but Fishnoi. I mean, there was this surprisingly limited opportunities that were given to him. Given that they decided to invest in a talent like Ravi Fishnoi, they selected Adil Rashid. Why would you even select Adil Rashid? And then play him for a game and not play him again. So that again, this you can see it in franchises which do not perform, that there just seems to be a lack of trust in their players. There just seems to be a lack of vision. And that kind of comes out. So, with respect to positives, it's KL Rahul. What can one say? But the problem is there's Mayank, of course. But other than that, there is no consistency in terms of a run given to even Indian batsmen. I mean, the Indian batsmen they selected, like Sarfaraz Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, Mandeep Singh. It's like a crapshoot, Deepak Hooda. You didn't know who was going to play. And then some guy would just basically come out to bat. It was like, the way you used to play in, Jadavpur University, third year versus fourth year. Yes, whoever would showed up on the ground would just walk in and start batting. And whoever, like, I know this time I will play, it's my bat, they will go out to bat. So Punjab doesn't seem to be outside the first two. There didn't seem to be any kind of strategy, any kind of solid core. There was not building a side. And so, again, at least they started out, they had a 1-2-3 strategy, KL Rahul, Mayank Agarwal and Karun Nair. So there was a very, very... With Anil Kumble, there was a very strong, let's take the core of the Bangalore side and put them in Punjab. It's another thing that Karun Nair didn't pan out. Again, he was somebody who I think a lot was expected of. I mean, Karun Nair and KL Rahul kind of came into prominence at the same time. And for a time, at least, I thought that Karun Nair had the better chance than KL Rahul. But man, I was wrong again. And of course, Karun Nair was let go and he landed up at, Kolkata Knight Riders, but who else? But I think that's one of the places where Punjab Kings kind of went off the rails, that they basically took the wrong bets. I mean, Chris Gayle was there, but he was not somebody who they were expecting seriously to build a team around. He was going to be just used as kind of a shock factor in some games at that point. And again, I think that Chris Gayle did perform. I mean, he did perform his role. He did bring them some, he did play some very good innings. And I think at the end, his decision to leave was, I think, also very strange because Chris Gayle is the last person in the world who would prioritize national cricket over franchise cricket, given his record. So I think there was definitely, some kind of tension going on in the side. And I think Chris Gayle at that point of time realized he was not going to get any games and you just had enough of it. And I think that it's a real sad thing that this is the way Chris Gayle left. And I think this IPL season is a watershed for many of IPL's most consistent performance, Warner, Chris Gayle, AB de Villiers. So, but this was sad. I mean, it was the second saddest going after Warner. But, you know, just the decision of Chris Gayle, who's kind of come to become an emblem of IPL, to just kind of leave like that. It was too much of a end with a whimper. And we kind of expected that with the universe boss, there would be something a little bit more spectacular. So who are they going to retain? I'm guessing they're going to retain KL Rahul. They're going to retain Mayank. Maybe they might want to put an RTM on Arshdeep. But I think one thing they're not possibly going to retain is Anil Kumble as a coach. Which brings me now to Rajasthan Royals. So Rajasthan Royals, again, it's been one of those franchises which, after winning the first IPL, it's never been a serious contender. Which is sad because, you know, this is a team which hasn't tried to invest in Indian talent and with mixed success. So at the start of the last auction, they decided to place all their bets on superstar English players. And they selected the very best, you know, Stokes, Butler and Archer. Three of the best limited overs cricketers in the world right now. And Royals did well when all three were in the side. The problem is that other than, that's it. That's what their strategy was. They had Sanju Samson, but Sanju Samson and three of the best English talent. But they just put all their eggs in one basket. And again, the best last few years, Royals, the best performance coincides with Archer being in their team. He was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, some of his performances, some of the pace and the accuracy with which he bowled, he was virtually unplayable. And Archer is like that. He's very prone to get injured, but you know, at his best, he's a sight to behold. So again, Royals best, but ultimately a franchise has to build itself on 11 players. It can't like say, oh, we'll focus on 4 and 5 players and we'll just fill in the rest 5 or 6. No, maybe you can fill in 1 or 2, but you can't fill in 5 or 6. And that's really where Punjab Kings, Rajasthan Royals, all of them have suffered from that. And Sunrisers also in the later part is that they've essentially have a list of 4 or 5 wildcard, the star dot stars. And for those of you who know what regular expression is, and you can't really build a team like that. Your team has to be stable. You have to know exactly who your first 11 is. And the unsuccessful franchises kind of never figured out who their first 11 is. So with Royals, they had Archer. There was a phase in which Rahul Tewatia did pretty well. And again, Rahul Tewatia has that Paul Valthatti thing. His performance has totally fallen off. This part. And again, this is the problem with talent like that. You know, they have their, what I used to call their Jayadrath period, when nobody can defeat them. As you know, the Jayadrath was given a boon that he would have one day in which he would be able to defeat all the Pandavas except Arjun. But that's it. He was going to get one day in his life. Every other day, he would be a loser. Again, I'm not calling Rahul Tewatia a loser or anything, by the way. But I'm just saying that, you know, there are seasons in which they look like they are the best players in the world, or that nobody can defeat them. And then they are, of course, they are found out. And the reason is that simple, because in this day and age where there is so much analysis that goes on with respect to bowling actions and with respect to initial trigger movement of their feet when facing the ball, it's very difficult for batsmen who have like vulnerabilities to survive because they get caught out, essentially. It might be that it takes some time for people to cotton on to what exactly they're doing, but their secret is usually out. And the challenge for players who have a great first season like Venkatesh Iyer is to be able to evolve, is to able to fuse those, is to remedy those vulnerabilities and improve. And not all players can do it. And that's when you become like Paul Valthatti, where you look like Bradman one season and then next season you're gone. So again, with Rajasthan Royals, much of their strategy made no sense. I mean, splurging repeatedly on Unadkat, and then letting him go the next season and buying him for a lesser price. You know, they used to keep on renewing that. I didn't even know what was going on. I mean, what are you essentially telling the player every year that we overpaid for you last year? And how is that motivating for a player? Think that you're working in a company where you work for that company, but every year salary decreases. What does that say about your relationship with that company? How are you expected to perform for that company? You can't, right? Maybe the only reason you're working for that company is because no other company is going to have you. But again, that is a toxic relationship where every year your salary decreases. And that's exactly what they had for Nutker. Then they blew the bank for Chris Morris. Blew the bank. And then was Chris Morris worth that much? He never was. I mean, I never considered him. He's an okay player. He's not worth that much. Then they spent like 4 crores or something on Shivam Dubey. Didn't play him. Forgot he existed. And played him at the very end when they were kind of already eliminated. And he played pretty okay. So, and then of course there is Sanju Samson. So Sanju Samson has kind of been very, I mean, I usually see him and when I play fantasy cricket, I know he starts off a season very well. And then his performance goes like this. This was perhaps the only season where his performance was kind of okay throughout. But he has this thing where he just, and I honestly think Sanju Samson is not captaincy material. He just doesn't have that presence to be, you know, a very good captain. He's shown it repeatedly. You know, the performances back my assertion that he's not a good captain. He's definitely I don't think he's a long-term India prospect anymore. I think he's kind of missed the bus. Again, he might prove me wrong. He might have a late career revival, but I don't think he's been given opportunities, but he's never been able to get them. He's never able to hold on to them. I think he could be somebody in IPL. I still think that he does have the, there's very few people I'll enjoy watching bat more than Sanju Samson. I mean, the way he picks up his bat and the way he hits those sixes in the arc, there are very few people. He's a very attractive guy to watch when he's in full flow. With respect to retention, with Rajasthan Royals, I don't know. They might blow the bank again and retain Chris Morris. Who knows? Or retain Shivam Dubey. Well, God knows. I mean, with Rajasthan Royals, you never know. But I would think they would retain Sanju Samson. I think they would retain Archer. If Archer wants to play IPL, if he's up to it, I don't know if he wants to also. They definitely should not. I mean, Stokes, even if Stokes comes back, I don't think that they're going to retain him. Josh Butler, maybe. Yeah, Josh Butler, maybe they might want to. But again, I think that they should try to start off with a fresh slate at this point of time. Which brings me to the last franchise. Sunrisers Hyderabad. Man, I never had any strong emotions about Sunrisers Hyderabad. But just seeing that way they treated David Warner was just... It just made me feel bad. It just made me feel bad of him. I think first thing that they made a big mistake by letting Dhawan go. Dhawan was very important for the balance of the team. They needed a solid Indian performer at the top of the order. Once they had fixed that slot, and so ultimately that slot went to Riddhiman Saha. Riddhiman Saha cannot carry a franchise top two batting slot on his shoulders. He's not that guy. So they had Shikhar Dhawan. They let him go. I don't know what amount of money he asked for, but he was definitely worth it. So that, I think, ruined their balance. And so after what happened, after he went, there was no Indian batting core at all. So they had a very good foreign contingent, but they could play only 4 of them. So at any point of time, there was one very solid guy sitting on the bench. So for many years, you didn't realize this problem, you know, that this fundamental systemic problem the team had because of one guy, David Warner. He single-handedly carried the franchise day in and day out. Again, as somebody who plays fantasy cricket, I know. Whenever you had a SRH match, you by default put Warner in your side and you made him your captain because otherwise you're playing with fire. Because this guy, he was consistent. And he led the team. He brought that passion, brought that heat. And he carried the franchise. I mean, he got support sometimes from Bairstow, from Rashid Khan, and to an extent from Bhuvi. There were good support cast, but it was purely the manic energy of David Warner that carried the franchise through. And this was good as long as Warner was that kind of superhuman character. But then the moment his form went to pieces, and this is what happens really to people like Warner and Sehwag, because these people, they're not very great technical people. They're not technicians. Their batting is not technical. So their batting comes from reaction time, and you know that fraction of a second, you know, that's what gives them the advantage. It's all based on that thing goes with age. It has a precipitous decline. I remember at one point of time, remember who it was? Maybe it was, this was a time when I used to read a lot of cricket magazines, where maybe it was Jeff Boycott, I'm not sure, but he wrote an article, and I think Indian Cricketer, I'm not sure, I think it was, where this was at around the time when Viv Richards was, you know, it was 86 or so. And I think the article was that Viv Richards is going to have this problem. His performance is going to have a precipitous drop because he doesn't have good technique. He bats purely because of his reaction time. He reacts to things much quicker than a human, normal human being can. And this is the first thing to go as you age. And the comparison was between him and Gavaskar. And he said that Gavaskar, you know, players like him can basically, and remember the term, they can bat from memory for ages, even after their, you know, that instinct has gone. So they can basically just bat purely based on their technique and prolong their career. Example, I would say Sachin Tendulkar, for many years, he just used to bat on his technique. That's it. Sehwag, I mean, his performance fell down like this. And I think that's exactly what happened to Warner. And these batsmen are actually fun to watch. They're more fun to watch than the technical batsmen. But the problem with them is that they have this precipitous drop in their performance. Once that balance is kind of, you know, you kind of cross that line. So again, the Sunrisers had this ginormous vulnerability. And I'm a security guy, so I kind of use the word vulnerability again and again, which was Manish Pandey. Their bet was that, okay, we'll let Shikhar Dhawan go. We have Manish Pandey. But come on, man. Manish Pandey was no Shikhar Dhawan. Manish Pandey was a huge disappointment. I think the only thing that I can say was as big a disappointment as Manish Pandey was the Bengali food I had at O Calcutta Delhi. It was that level of disappointment. And again, with things, you know, it just stuff didn't make any sense. They picked Kedar Jadhav. I mean, when an old man is let go of by CSK, you're pushing your luck selecting that guy. This is a guy who even at that point of time, Dhoni is saying, I can't get anything out of this guy. So why would he even select? So again, there was just one, this ginormous hole that they had, which was a lack of Indian batting talent. And even the best foreign talent that they had, there's four of them, and they always knew that, man, if I get out, Kane Williamson comes to bat and he sees Manish Pandey. And that's not what you want, you know, Kane Williamson to see. It just doesn't fill him with confidence to know that, okay, if I get out playing this risky shot, then it's all on Manish Pandey and then it's on Kedar Jadhav. So who should they retain? I don't know. I don't think anyone. Okay, Kane Williamson maybe. Kane Williamson is perhaps the only person they may want to retain, but I don't think they should retain anybody else in their side. I think Bhuvneshwar Kumar also, no, not anymore. Last auction, yes. Rahul, Rashid Khan, yes. So they should retain Rashid Khan because Rashid Khan will be expensive on an RTM. They should retain Rashid Khan and they should retain Kane Williamson, but they should try to go for Indian talent. So I'm sorry, there was a call, so I had to stop. That's it. That's it, I would say, for today's podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I'll see you next week with a new topic. Again, this time it won't be IPL, hopefully. So those of you who are disappointed by the fact that I spent, I don't know, 40 minutes, 15 minutes talking about IPL, forgive me for this week. I'll be back next week. Till then, please do share, subscribe, and like this channel. Bye-bye.